Yeah, well, tonight I wanted to talk about a subject I've entitled React or Respond. And so we're in a lot of situations, each and every one of us, a lot, to do one of those two things. And I guess pretty much that comes down into every given circumstance, every given situation in life. Things present themselves on a daily, if not moment by moment basis, and we're faced with these choices of how am I going to either react or how am I going to respond? And there is a difference. And you've lived long enough, guys, to have experienced exactly what I'm talking about. We've done both things. We've reacted and we've responded. And what's so cool is that God has given us the ability to really respond according to a new standard, that we no longer have to react in the five senses world just with those emotions and feelings and thoughts and attitudes that, are now part of the old nature. But we can respond with the Word of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and the Spirit of God, that God has given us that divine connection to be connected with Him so that in those situations where a response is needed, we have the great source of life, the great source of all power, the great source of all creation. He's our Father, and He loves us so very, very much. Again, I said I was going to be going to Acts 16. We'll get there in a minute. But I want to talk about the definition of something that I've recently been looking at, and it's called situational awareness. I don't know if that is a term you've ever heard. I guess it's a relatively common term in some circles. It's pretty new to me. But it's defined as the ability to perceive, understand, and effectively respond to one's situation. It involves comprehending a given circumstance, gathering relevant information, analyzing it, and making informed decisions to successfully address any potential rise, hazards, or events that might occur. Now, that's a pretty technical definition, right? But basically, it's having the perception with the understanding how to respond to any given situation. It's called situational awareness. The Bible is loaded, packed full with all sorts of situations where people had to, or at some point came to that point where they had the awareness that God was involved in that situation, or they were asking Him to be involved in that situation. Without going into a lot of detail, you can automatically begin to think. I mean, I think initially about Joseph. He got himself in a variety of different sets of circumstances and situations. But God didn't leave him. He didn't desert him. Abraham. God was very patient, waiting for Abraham to respond. On and on and on and on throughout every book of the Bible, basically, there are situations and circumstances, and in some cases, they didn't have a real great awareness of the consequence of the decision that was being made in that moment. David and Bathsheba is a perfect example. He had a choice in that moment, but he didn't have the ability because he was just so caught up in his lust for Bathsheba that that desire of the flesh just kind of overwhelmed any sound choice that he might make. But as time went on, he was able to recover. And so on and on and on these situations go. But I want to look in Acts chapter 16 because here's a situation or a circumstance, and I wanted to show you kind of a great example of what I would call situational awareness, the ability to really perceive, understand, and effectually respond to one's situation. Paul and Silas, here they are, Acts 16, verse 16. I'll be reading from the New International Version tonight. You can read along in whatever version you do have. And Paul and Silas, once we were going to the place of prayer where we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." I'm sure she wasn't saying it like that. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the woman, to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. Would you say that's a great example of situational awareness? That he had this awareness, and the greatest reality and awareness was, is that it was a spiritual situation, and he had the tools to be able to respond effectively. It says in the moment he used the name of Jesus Christ and commanded the spirit, it says at that moment the spirit left her. And in verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and he dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Let me tell you, this was not a pleasant situation, obviously. None of us, for the most part, that I know of, have been stripped and beaten with rods and then thrown into prison and then have our feet put in stocks and actually probably even thrown into an inner prison. But you know what? They had a presence of mind, which we're going to read about here coming up, verse 25. Here's these two believers. They've just had the you-know-what beat out of them, or beat into them, whatever. But here's their response. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They heard it. And suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. It doesn't even say they were praying to be loosened from those chains. It doesn't say what they were praying about. It just says that they were praying and they were praising, because praise confuses the enemy. He's not expecting that. See? And the other people there too, the other prisoners, they were listening. And it says all at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains. Not just Paul and Silas, everybody's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. Don't commit suicide. We're here. We're all here." The jailer called for lights. He rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought him out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. Does that mean they were baptized in water? Well, it doesn't really say what they were baptized in. But I think from a greater scope of understanding from the scriptures, we understand that when a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, He is fully immersed. He is baptized and at that point receives the ability to manifest the Spirit of God, which was recognized on the day of Pentecost by the speaking in tongues. Verse 34, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Talk about situational awareness. Here these guys are in pretty much a horrendous situation. But they had the presence of mind, the heart, call to pray and singing praises in the middle of the night. Probably pretty darn dark in there too. And all of a sudden, bam, the supernatural showed up. And this occurrence happened in a moment of time, and the end result became fruitful. Verse 35. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and throw us into prison, and now they want to get us rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. Who would have thought? These weren't things that Paul had pre-thought. But in the moment, he, by the Spirit of God, walking by revelation in this situation, got the words to speak. They were really standing up for themselves. They weren't going to take this laying down. He said, no. They want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. And the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. And they came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then, verse 40, they left. We have a great, big, wonderful God. And we have the right and privilege in every given situation, every given circumstance. I truly believe there is an answer. God is speaking. God is working. If we will seek his face, he will work with us individually in any given situation, in any circumstance. And so we have a choice. And I'd like to leave you with that. Will you react or will you respond? Father God, you're so kind to us. The way you watch over us, take care of us, help us, guide us, lead us, teach us, feed us. And you whisper so quietly and gently to us, Father, that it only encourages us to want to go to you even more. Thank you that we can learn from things like this example of Paul and Silas, and that as we're put in life situations and circumstances, that we too can respond with a heart of thanksgiving and praise and just have expectation that you're just going to work miracles on our behalf. And so we love you, God. We thank you for your kindness and goodness and gentle ways with us. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.